How does climate change relate to human rights?
Well, there are many sort of impacts that climate change has on people. So enormous sort of spectrum of issues that connect human rights and climate change. So, you know, people are affected by severe weather events, people are affected by droughts, and a whole host of sort of impacts that connect with human rights. And of course, you know, people are being displaced daily as a consequence of climate change. But there's also another interesting factor to it, that actions to address climate change can also have human rights implications. For instance, you know, mining of minerals to produce batteries for electric vehicles, deep seabed mining, you know, for minerals, even hydroelectric dams can have human rights impacts. So it's not only the impacts of climate change, but it's also the impacts of doing things about climate change. And there's the also, you know, issue of just transition of, you know, getting people out of employment in the fossil fuel industry into other industries is a human rights issue.
And there are many that don't relate to the concept of human rights or for that matter, climate change. How do you have this discussion going forward?
Well, it's a matter of, you know, having that, so making that connection that people's lives, everyday lives, are impacted by climate change. And so, you know, it's not too difficult to make that connection, you know, that most people are aware that, you know, their lives are changing as a consequence of climate change. And certainly, you know, youth groups are certainly bringing that to the fore at the moment.
And how does your mandate relate to other international instruments? For instance, the Sendai Disaster Risk Reduction Framework, the SDGs, and other environment and human rights instruments?
Well, certainly the climate change agreements, you know, and I've been, you know, part of the Tuvalu delegation for over 21 years attending climate change negotiations. And I worked on trying to get human rights provisions included in the Paris Agreement. Sendai framework is another issue that looks at disasters. And therefore there is a connection there and impacts of climate change. And a number of the sustainable development goals have a strong connection to the human rights climate change interface. You know, there's issues around, you know, number five, gender equality. There's often, you know, a close link between human rights, climate change, and gender aspects, because often women are at the forefront of some of the impacts of climate change. Clean water and sanitation, SDG 6 is clearly another one. Affordable energy and just transition, 7 is another. So there are a number of them. And of course, you know, with my sort of background in being in the Pacific, the one SDG 14 on life below water is a critical one, because we know that, you know, the impacts of climate change are already affecting Pacific Island communities, you know, as far as access to fish stocks, ocean acidification. You know, there are a number of issues around that as well.
And just on that, I spoke with a climate change activist this week from the Torres Strait, who was concerned that the focus of the response to the effects of climate change is elsewhere. Do you find that there is a form of inequity in climate change response similar to what we're observing with the current global COVID response?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there seems to be a lot more focus on efforts to reduce emissions, you know, and there's been a lot of talk around that, but there's not a lot of talk about, A, you know, helping countries adapt to the impacts of climate change, and the issue of what we call in climate change meetings loss and damage, to help those people already affected by climate change. And that's where there's a sort of big gap in the international dialogue around the issue of loss and damage. We, you know, from my own experience of negotiating, you know, the Article 8 in the Paris Agreement on loss and damage, I mean, there's a big, you know, bigger countries like the United States and parts of European Union have an antithesis towards this concept of loss and damage. But for you know, communities like the people in Torres Strait or people on Tuvalu, they know that they're already suffering the impacts of climate change. 2015, the cyclone Pam, smashed three islands of Tuvalu, washed waves right across the whole islands, destroyed infrastructure, destroyed crops, fresh water. You know, people had to move off those islands to the capital as a consequence.
And if I may ask one last question, the Global Ocean Conference is in late June, July. Should there be a focus on climate change and human rights? And if so, can you give some more examples why?
Well, I think that'll certainly be a point of discussion. We know that, as I've been explaining, that there are clear impacts of climate change on oceans and, coastal communities. That's from, ocean acidification is breaking down coral reefs. We know, particularly in the Pacific, we know fish stocks are moving as a consequence of warmer oceans. And there are a whole lot of other effects that connect to people, their livelihoods and climate change. And so hopefully there will be, a proper dialogue on connecting oceans, climate change and human rights.